This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant's been vindicated.
It's my podcast, I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rip. All right, we're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready. I feel like the end is staring at my watch, and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
I ain't been looking for one. I'ma be your body. I'ma keep on dancing. I'ma keep the champagne all to myself. I'ma be your ride. I'ma keep on moving. I'ma get the love all over the world.
Anyway, it's my show. I do what I want. Fuck y'all. Anyway. Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J. Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society, and I gotta start by thanking you first and foremost for taking whatever time out of your busy schedule to come chill, listen to my random ramblings. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly appreciate that. Man, started with that joint because that's the vibe I'm trying to be on. I'm gonna be alright. You know, I know. On the last episode when I was finishing up the Cleveland adventure, I mentioned that, you know, I'm in a little bit of a weird space right now, you know, not feeling the best mentally, not feeling like myself, stressed out, a lot of that. And, you know, I'm going to be all right. I don't want to say everything's fine. That is what I titled this joint, but it's okay. And it's going to be okay. And I just got to sometimes talk my way into the right thinking. So I did want to spend some time on this episode just kind of going through, you know, what it's been, you know, the issues that I'm dealing with. I got to get some evil out real quick, go on some rants, you know, just to let go of some shit. But that's what I do here, and hopefully it's therapeutic for you, or at least entertaining, whatever it might be. But that's what we're doing today. But before we get to any of that, you know what we got to do, the Chef Elise Report.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, sir, I am, and very proud to be. Man, I don't have a whole lot to report on Chef Elise. She is a second grader now, and I'm very proud of that. Got to see her off on her first day of school, and that's dope. School is just different now. I got an email the other day that they're getting Chromebooks, and it was, you know, to let us know when the Chromebooks were going to be issued and all the Chromebook policies and usage and all that good stuff. I'm like, all right, you know. I don't know. I know Chef Elise is probably going to spend most of her time playing Minecraft. So we'll see if she gets hers confiscated or taken or whatever, because she's not using it appropriately. But yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there. The other big thing with Chef Elise right now, and this has been a little bit of a source of the stress and anxiety that I'm going through right now. You know, she was born here in Austin, and she's born, I want to say, into a multicultural area, but, you know, it's Texas. So while there are more cultures than I probably experienced growing up, there is definitely one in the majority. She's not a member of that group. And she's coming into, I think she's coming into that realization. Like, she's coming into understanding that she's Black, or that her color of skin is different than a lot of the people around her. And but I do think, you know, for her right now, she still sees it in a naive 7-year-old kind of way, which is, like, I don't know, I almost see it as a virtue. Like, it's something I don't want to take away from her. And she had it wasn't an incident, but just a strange conversation with her teacher at school, and my ex-wife was there for it. So she called me to talk about, like, how we're going to deal with it. And, you know, it dawned on me then. And I said to my ex-wife, like, we didn't have this experience. We didn't have a moment in life where we realized we were Black. Like, we just grew up Black. Like, you know, everybody in my house was Black. Everybody in my neighborhood was Black. Yeah, I didn't have a lot of experiences with other cultures. I know in elementary school, you know, we sung Young, Gifted, and Black in class. And, We sang the Black National Anthem at the, you know, assemblies and stuff like that. So there was, I had a Black identity, you know, from day one. And I think at some point I started to learn what that may mean for the rest of the world. But it's a weird situation to figure out, like, how do you guide someone through coming into the realization that they're Black and they're not in, like, a Black world. And I don't have an answer for that. You'll hear more about a conversation that I had with the League of Kings, which is the new show I have with Willie from the Thing About Us podcast, Joe from Bold Talk by Joe, and Big Brother from Big Brother Advice. I wish we had a name for that. I'm gonna ask him his name one of these days, because I just know him as Big Brother from the Big Brother Advice part, and his name can't be Big Brother, so I gotta. That's neither here nor there. That's not part of the Chef of these report. But yeah, just, you know, if y'all got some advice, maybe, you know, hit me up in the social media channels, or send me an email at flan@whatistws.com. You know, how do you guide a young Black kid in through the realization that they're Black? Like, I don't want to take from her this idea that we're, like, we're all the same and she doesn't see a difference other than we look a little different. But especially growing up here in Texas, I do want her to be prepared for the moment where she learns that the rest of the world, or not the rest of the world, but there are people in this world that are going to see her a certain way, maybe treat her a certain way. And there's going to have to be some times where she's aware of that before she starts moving, so that she knows what to expect. I don't want that to happen to her and she didn't see it coming. I can imagine that being traumatic, and I kind of want to spare her that. And that's not a situation I'm accustomed to. That wasn't the life I led. I think I've told y'all stories about how we treated, like, the one white kid in our school. And she might not have even been white. She might have just been real light. And it was the same difference to us. But yeah, we gave her the blues. I ain't even going to tell that stuff again, because it's embarrassing that I ever treated another human being that way. So it is what it is. Go back and listen to the other 380 episodes to see if you can find the one where I talked about that. I don't know. It is what it is. But anyway, that's the Chef Elise report.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, and still proud to be. Just don't know how to handle this situation. But yeah, all right, to get into these last couple of weeks for me, because I've been late, like 2 weeks, getting episodes out. I think I missed an entire week. And the majority of it has to do with this new job I took. And we'll get... one of the big parts about the new job that I took is that I've gone from working from home almost 100% of the time. I think at my last job, I was considered, it's these new age terms they have for stuff, I was a circulating employee. And I guess that basically meant that I didn't have a desk. And that my location on a day-to-day basis was based off of, like, need. And if I wasn't needed to be in the office, then I wasn't supposed to be in the office. There wasn't no place for me to sit. I would have to find a place if I had to be there. So I was pretty much 100% remote. And that created a couple of situations. One, you know, I could get a lot of this podcasting work done. I wasn't really turning down anything. As you might hear when I'm talking to people on other shows, like, I had a million different shows going on at the same time. And it really wasn't any time that you could hit me up where, like, recording wasn't an option or something like that. You know, I couldn't claim, like, being tired after work, because I had been in the house all day. So it's changed, like, my recording schedule and what I'm available to do. And that's kind of taking a toll on me mentally. But the other big part about not being remote is I'm driving to work every day. I'm driving back and forth to work every day. I'm driving downtown. And people here in Austin complain about the traffic. Growing up in D.C., I feel like I know traffic can be worse and is way worse other places. It's not the traffic. It's just I don't like driving. Like, it's an anxiety-riddled experience for me. I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and they were like, I don't know. And they came to the realization that, like, they weren't sure how they would handle learning how to drive at this age. Because it's like, you know, when you're young and you learn how to do it, you somewhat fearless. Like, you don't understand consequences and stuff like that. being this old, like, I'm acutely aware that I am piloting tons of steel at, you know, high speed with feet in between me and another, you know, fast moving ball of death. I don't know. Like, I'm acutely aware of that. That, like, you know what I'm saying? A lapse in judgment, a, you know, look down too long. Sometimes when I got to sneeze, I'm like, shit, if I sneeze, I'm going to close my eyes. If I close my eyes for a second, like, what the fuck going to happen? Like, can I sneeze and drive? And have you ever tried to hold a sneeze and then, like, try to do something that requires your attention? Like, that's even worse. So just, you can hear from that experience alone that, like, driving is just not fun for me. And I don't enjoy it. I don't look forward to it. And it's just, it adds on to the day. If I got to go to work, I got to work all day. And in between that, I got to drive this distance around these other people. And then you other drivers are the fucking worst. Like, I've been told I'm a perfectionist. And, you know, like I said before, I didn't understand it when people said it to me because I'm not a neat person. I flunked out of all kinds of shit in high school. I'm not an overachiever or none of them types of things. So I'm like, what the fuck perfectionism are you seeing in anything that I do? But the perfectionist in me is that I don't work well in situations where other people don't operate as I expect them to, or in my mind, you know, by the rules. And people just don't give two shits about traffic laws. Like, I've complained about this before in Texas. I don't know what it is about people and, like, they exit or they turn, but y'all somehow don't realize your turn is coming until you, like, 100 feet from it, and now you racing to swerve across three lanes to get over so that you can turn. And it's like, if you had planned a little bit, I wouldn't have to now slam on brakes to avoid hitting you because you swerving into my lane because you all of a sudden realize you got to turn. And now I'm realizing that that's not even what happened, is that you motherfuckers act like y'all got, like it's somebody bleeding in your back seat and you racing to the hospital every fucking where you going. You got to swerve in and out of lanes to move up one car or something, because obviously wherever you're going is that important. And then now you way over in the left lane, got to make a right turn. So now you're about to do some more swerving. And I guess you think you're just a good driver or something. Like, I think people think that, like, that's a virtue. That shows how good they are, that they can just weave in and out. No, you making other people have to make life or death decisions. Like, people are allowing you to live. Because sometimes when it's happening and I'm in my car, I'm thinking to myself, I wish I was at a point where I didn't give a fuck what was going to happen to me or this vehicle. Because I want to just plow into you and not fuck up my brakes to spare your life, because you're making these maneuvers and you think you're good at it, when no, really, it's me not fucking you up. And I say, one of these days, I wish I had one of them big ass trucks or something with, like, a cow catcher on the front of it, and I just run through niggas. Like, that's how y'all are making me feel. And then there's always somebody in a car that is already fucked up. Like, your whole rear bumper is missing or something. So obviously you've been in a couple wrecks and you learned absolutely nothing. Like, just nothing. Like, you still pulling these same daredevil ass moves for no fucking reason. Just, like, I get directions to everywhere I'm going. And before I pull off, I look at those directions to try to understand, you know, what turns I'm making, what lane I may need to be in. When I make this turn, I only got 400 feet before I make the next turn, so I need to make sure I'm already getting over. Like, I'm looking at that before my trip starts. So I'm not in the middle of the trip, like, turn left. Okay, you know, and just fuck everybody else, let's go. And that shit pisses me off. It's people in bullshit ass cars that act like that, and it's also people in BMWs. I'm starting to understand I don't like BMW drivers, because y'all motherfuckers are the worst too. Y'all just, would you? And that's not even, like, in Austin, that's not even a luxury car. Like, these people that got way nicer cars than your BMW, chill the fuck out. Like, just chill out, because I swear to God, one of these days, I'm not going to care, and you're going to make that move. You're going to try to cut me off. You're going to try to, you know, sneak into my lane or something after you done rolled in the shoulder for however many miles. And I'm just going to pretend like, oh, you didn't have a turn signal on. So I didn't know he was getting over. And just, I'm just going to hit the gas on you one of these days. It's going to happen. And also, like I said, I got to get the evil out today. If you riding around with a baby on board sticker on the back of your car, I don't need to care you got a baby on board. You need to care. Because if you driving like you don't give a fuck about the baby in your backseat, that ain't my little nigga. I absolutely don't give a fuck. So, like, I swear to God, one of these days, I'm going to teach somebody a lesson. This is going to make everything I do premeditated, and I'm fucking up my sentences already. But it is what it is. I just got to get this out. Like, something is wrong with you people. Just chill the fuck out. Leave 5 minutes earlier. Review your route. And stop treating it like it's our responsibility to keep you safe. Like, you know, you are depending on the fact that people care about themselves. And there are some days. I'm saying, I hate to say this in like a joking manner, but like, I'm a suicide survivor. There are moments where I don't care about my life. And you catch me in one of them moments, and I'm behind some tons of steel going 70 miles an hour. You know, who knows what choice I'm going to make that day? Who knows if I'm going to slam on the brakes that day? Who the fuck knows? It's just a warning. That's all I'm saying. And then in addition to all this anxiety I'm going through with in my mind with a bad drivers, I guess I got a screw in my tire, and it's like in the part of the tire that you can't repair. And the dude is trying to talk to me about how when you rolling and the tire hits the road, it's going to fold. Look, man, if I came into your shop because I got a screw in my tire, just dollar amount. This is all we need to talk about. Give me my options and dollar amount. You ain't really got to convince me that you got to change the tire. I'm here. And I'm saying I'm not, if it's a tire thing, I'm probably not leaving. I'm not going to drive away on the bad tire to go someplace else. Just fucking dollar amounts. It's 9 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. I obviously am supposed to be at work right now. So it's just dollar amount and options or whatever. You don't got to convince me of nothing. And then if you quote me a time, dude is like, you know, you should probably get two tires replaced at the same time. So I'm like, bet. And he gave me a dollar amount. I wasn't happy about the money, but fuck it. It is what it is. And then he's like, yeah, we get you out of here in like 45 minutes. 3 hours later, I'm still sitting there. I think about an hour and a half later, I look outside. My car is still parked where I parked it. So it's like, y'all ain't even started. And you told me 45 minutes. It's already been an hour and a half. Like, just don't lie to me in the first place. If you'd have told me 3 hours and I was still sitting here an hour and a half later, I wouldn't be concerned about where my car is, because I'm not even thinking I'm close to getting out of here. But you told me 45 minutes and an hour and a half. That's, we already at twice the time and my car hasn't moved. So now I'm pissed. Like, you had all the power to set the expectation and you gave me this expectation and then disappointed me. Like, I don't get it. Like, you know, what people don't understand about under promise, over deliver. That's business 101. Just figure that shit out. But that's been my experience driving. And it's fucking hot. And every day when I get in my car, you know, I got to dodge the seatbelt buckle, because if that shit touch you, that's a third degree burn. I can't barely touch the steering wheel. I'm just mad. I'm just fucking mad. And that's just driving to work. And then the actual job, and I'll start by saying I enjoy what I do. And my last job, when I was 100% remote, there were a lot of days where I wouldn't speak to another human being. Not email, not instant message, not on the phone, nothing. There'd be really no communication between me and anybody else that I work with. And on a lot of days, it felt like they wouldn't even know if I wasn't here. Like, if I just, and a lot of times I wasn't there, to be honest with you. I'm a snitch on myself. There's programs you can install on your computer that will imitate your mouse moving. And so a lot of places, especially with this remote work, are just looking at, like, if you're using Teams, are you available or are you away? And if I got something that's imitating my mouse moving, then I'm available all day. I'm not sitting there but it looks like I'm sitting there. And there were several days where that's what it was. I wasn't doing a goddamn thing. I might be asleep. I might be playing Madden. Who knows? But, you know, it's like nobody knew. And when they're paying you a certain dollar amount and you're not being used and nobody's talking to you, there's this, for me, like, in my anxiety, there's always this sneaking suspicion that one day somebody's going to wake up, realize we don't need them. And, you know, it's going to be over before I get a plan together on how I'm getting out of here. So I feel like I had to get out of there. And I absolutely don't have that problem at the new job. I am being utilized to the fullest, but it's all very mental. You know, I'm in a leadership role. So I got about 7 or 8 people underneath me, pause. And, you know, every day it's just managing these personalities. And again, this is where the perfectionist comes out in me. I have expectations for how people are supposed to behave at work. I have expectations on professionalism. I have expectations on general respect and conduct. And I'm dealing with a lot of people that are my age or older and just don't seem to have any of these things. They don't know how you're supposed to talk to somebody. I had this conversation with one of the people that works under me the other day. He's asking me how he can improve. I'm getting in trouble because if he listens to this, I don't know, it's probably going to be an HR moment, but fuck it. He asked me how he could improve. And I told him, I said, stop telling people in meetings that you're not going to do what they ask you to do. It's like, you know, if I ask you not to be on your phone on the job, do I realistically expect that you're never going to use your phone on the job? No, I don't. But what I'm trying to set up is a moment where, you know, if I'm around, you're not going to do it. If I walk in the room, you're going to put your phone away. You know, and that gives me some semblance of control over whether or not you're using your phone on the job. That's not what this was, but I'm just using that as an example. But if I say that to you and then you immediately tell me that you're not going to do it, and then you do that in front of people, I don't care how much of a joke you think that is, it's fucking disrespectful. And you could have easily continued to do whatever it is you were doing. You just didn't have to tell me that you weren't going to do it. And it's like, I will give people the cheat codes like that. Like, I wouldn't have even been checking on you to see if you did what I asked you to do if you hadn't told me you weren't going to do it. Now I got to check behind you to find out whether or not it happened or not, whether or not you're following the rules or not. Whereas I wouldn't have even been looking unless somebody told me something, but you told me you wasn't going to do it. And I don't understand how to explain to a grown man that that's stupid. Just shut the fuck up. I've been preaching this message for so long and I need to stop. I need to understand that there's no way I can say it to people where it's going to change their behavior. They're either going to do it or they're not on their own volition, but it's not going to be because I gave an impassioned speech about shutting the fuck up. But I'm going to do it one more time. I am who I am. I'm just saying, like, people, 90% of your problems will go away if you shut the fuck up. You're giving people too much information. You're telling people too much about yourself. You're telling them what you're not going to do. You're making people look at you that don't need to look at you. And that's normally where people's problems tend to come from. When I was in the sober homes, I was like, man, look, nobody knows what happened in your house unless you telling everybody about it. If you would shut the fuck up, would nobody know, and you could do whatever the fuck you wanted to do. But you got to talk about it. Just shut the fuck up. I don't get it. I don't get how difficult a concept that is, but it obviously is. And that's one of, you know, a myriad of personnel issues that's going on, you know, at my current job. And it's just like going in every day and, you know, having to manage adults through not technical issues, but just adulting, normal human behavior issues. You can't say that to a person. Don't do this. You're supposed to be on time. Like, you know, I'll tell you this one. And I had to ask my white friend Chad. Might start a segment. Me and my white friend Chad. But I had to ask my white friend Chad And maybe pet owners, let me know. Had somebody call in because their mom's dog died. They needed to take the day off because their mom's dog died. Not their dog, but their mom's dog. And my white friend Chad actually said he's a dog owner and he's white. So I figured he would be the authority on this. He said that, yeah, if his mom's dog died or something like that, and she needed him because she was that distraught, he may take the day off to help her out. But he wouldn't tell nobody that's why he was taking the day off. Again, this is another one of them shut the fuck up moments. I don't need that much information. You could just say you're sick. I'm not going to ask you what you got. I don't give a fuck. You're sick. You're not coming to work. All I need to know is you're not coming to work. But if you got the audacity to tell me that the reason you're not coming to work is because an animal that didn't even belong to you passed away. Now I'm mad. Now you better not never take another day off. Now when you are sick, I'm going to be like, man, fuck you and your cold because you take off for anything. It's just shut up. Shut up. Stop talking. Stop telling everybody things. I do not trust people who volunteer information. If I didn't ask you, if you just say, I can't make it into work today, that all I need to know is you're not going to be here today. That's all I need to know. If the numbers start adding up and you're not here more than you are here, that's going to be a problem regardless of the excuse. All I need to know is you're not coming in today. Once you start like giving me this long ass story, I'm like, oh, this is a fucking lie. Like, yeah. And now I'm upset that you're lying to me. I'm not upset that you're taking a day off. Shit happens. I'm upset that you're wasting my time making me listen to this fucking story. Shut the fuck up. Shut up and plan for your trips before you get in the car. But this is the perfectionist in me. I don't understand why people don't operate that way. And it's driving me nuts. So yeah, I mean, between managing all these people and driving back and forth to work every day, I get home and I'm like mentally exhausted. And the only way to like rest your brain is to sleep. And I slept for like 12 hours the other day. I got home at like 6. I barely had enough energy to eat something and got into bed. And by the time I opened my eyes up again, it was time to go back to work. And that, anybody that's done that knows that's a depressing ass feeling. It's fucking depressing when all of your free time you spent sleeping. And now you just got to get right back into going to work mode. But as Ross has reminded me, I asked for this. You know, my boss that hired me gave me several opportunities to walk away. He asked me several times, like he tried to reiterate to me what the job was, what the position was going to be, and to make sure I wanted to do this. He wanted to make sure that I wanted to do this. I feel like me getting this job was just a shoo-in. It was an easy, done type deal. He wanted me to be there. I wanted to be there. Shouldn't be any questions. But we went through a couple back and forths just to make sure that I understood what I was getting into and that I wanted to do it. And I said I did. And here the fuck I am. Be careful what you ask for. But no, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I feel impactful. I feel like I'm making a positive impact on the organization and on some of these talkative ass motherfuckers' lives. I really, maybe one of these days they'll understand. Just stop talking. Just don't say anything. Say the bare minimum. Say what you have to say, you know, and let it go. It baffles me. Because you watch enough like crime shows and all this stuff. I mean, you hear lawyers tell you all the time, stop talking. You know, answer what you have to answer. With the police, people be like, I don't answer questions. Like, that's, you know, I'm not even asking you. You just talking. You just telling me things that I didn't need to know. And now because I know them, or because I feel like you just lying to me, now we got an issue. That wouldn't have happened if you could have just stopped talking. I don't know. And here I am talking for a half an hour straight about whatever. But I don't, you know, I'm not too concerned about the consequences that come from this. This is what I'm saying, people. Be wary on the road. As you can hear, I'm at a point mentally where I'm not giving a fuck about consequences. So go ahead, swerve across my lane one more time. Just, you know, roll the dice. See who you meet that day. What if you gonna meet the deacon or the other dude? Now, y'all don't know the other dude, but he's still around. He's still here, and he's been waiting for a moment to just to shine. And it's getting close. But nah, other than that, man. But I'm okay. Like I'm stressed out. I'm irritated. I'm tired. But I'm okay. And I'm thankful that, you know, I've learned enough over these past 4 years that none of this stuff has pushed me back toward, you know, some of the coping mechanisms I would have turned to before that would have made things so much worse. And I'm really thankful for that. I'm not going to lie, there's been some moments. I'm seeing all these, and this is why Facebook is the devil. Facebook is all of a sudden, like, I'm getting all these ads for mood. Has anybody else seen these ads? It is some form of THC that's supposed to be legal in all 50 states. And they will ship it to you and all that. I mean, you're still going to pop on a drug test if they piss you or something like that. But it's legal to have and I guess to use. That doesn't quite make sense to me. But it is what it is. I'm seeing a lot of these ads. And I actually went to the website. I actually went to the website for a minute and was like trying to convince myself that this was okay. That, you know, I could get this a shot. But I know that I'm trying to change the way I feel. And I'm trying to do that with a substance, which for me is a dangerous thing. It might be okay for you. I'm not judging you at all. But for me, if I started depending on a substance to change the way I feel, bad path. You know, I know where that road ends. I can play that tape forward. So, yeah, it's been a little bit of a struggle these last couple weeks. But I'm actually recording this episode before like 3 a.m. on a Monday morning. So I feel good about that. We recorded a couple episodes of the new show. Like I said, the League of Kings with me, Willie, Joe, and Big Brother. I think our debut episode is going to be September 6th. So be on the lookout for that. That is a good time. You know, we all get along and we had some pretty, you know, deep conversations. We go down some rabbit holes. But you get four different perspectives, all men, just having some really dope conversations. And I was concerned I was going to be like the one that was too crass. I've had to like censor myself and make sure I don't use certain language and all of that. But that's cool. But the people who've been out of pocket, it ain't been me. I haven't been out of pockets yet. I'm still waiting for my chance now. And the way that they've raised the bar on what's out of pocket, I don't even know if I could reach it. That's the crazy part. I thought I was going to be the bad guy, and I'm not. So now I got to work extra hard to get my rep back. So it's going to be crazy. Y'all need to tune in and check it out. September 6th is going to be the first episode, and I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm blessed. You know, life is good. Madden is out. I'm having fun, and I appreciate y'all for rocking with me. So with that being said, y'all be easy, be safe, be the light, and know this, if you know nothing else, I wouldn't swerve across my lane if I was you, but I fucking love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then. Might realize it later.
Love.